Today's reading is taken from the Gospel of St John, chapter 4, starting at verse 34, and it can be found on page 1067 of the Church Bible. So that's St John, chapter 4, beginning at verse 34. "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me, and to finish his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Amen.
Jesus is the answer. It's a phrase I've heard many times before. And of course, it's true. There is no question about it. Jesus is the answer. Ultimately, when all is said and done, it's his words, his person, his work, which alone has meaning, all of which will last forever. And so, if you've come to believe that Jesus is the answer, then I'm glad you will not be disappointed. But knowing that he is the answer and understanding what that means is altogether different. That involves knowing what the Christian faith is, what it means, and what it involves. But more than that, as a Christian, what about emphasis? Where should that be placed? More than that, what does it mean? What does that require of you? And how do you know what that will involve? As a Christian, the Bible is the source material, and so that's the direction to look. And through that, God's voice will be heard. But the Bible is nuanced. 66 books, written by 40 authors, over a period of at least 1,500 years, all contribute to that. God speaks through it, no question about it. But what is he saying to you, or me, or to the church? That's when we look to Jesus more closely. But as we turn our attention to him, we find Jesus' attention is elsewhere. For he so often looked to his Father. And so time after time, the scriptures announce that Jesus took time to pray, to withdraw from public ministry, to commune with his Father, as well as to take time to speak of the Father's will and purpose. And so, whilst Jesus is the answer, it's mention of the Father which can help you and I who believe. And that's no more evident than in John's Gospel. For in the fourth Gospel, John's Gospel, all missionary activity begins with the Father and leads back to him. And that's the first clue if you're wondering what God requires of you. Jewish tradition regarded wisdom as being the substance of a meal. But in John's Gospel, Jesus considered the will of God to be his food. For the will of the Father was that the one whom he had sent, Jesus, would complete his messianic work. That's important because it's natural for wisdom to be emphasized. And all that involves knowledge included. Yet when Jesus spoke of what satisfied, he related that to the event that had just taken place. His meeting with a Samaritan woman. This is where Jesus entered a territory that was so often avoided. When he encountered someone that his Jewish culture frowned upon. Speaking as he did to a person of questionable morality and of ill repute at that time. All of which he should never have done if he had abided by his people's customs. But he did. And that woman believed. She came to find that Jesus was the answer. More than that, this woman caused many others to believe as she shared the message of Jesus with her people in her community. For Jesus, that was God's will. And for Jesus, that was God's work. Which is the second clue. Most Christians would not describe themselves as missionaries, and that's understandable. But all Christians are in Christ. Whether they recognize or understand what that means or not, and all Christians are joined with the Father, the Son, and also the Holy Spirit. That makes God's will ours. For in relationship with God, our will becomes increasingly like his. And so we share his desire, but we also share in his resource. Meaning that whatever you or I might do as a missionary is not done in your strength or my strength. It's not done because it was prompted by you or I. And it's not being done because of any sense of guilt or pressure that we might feel for whatever reason. Instead, it becomes a natural outpouring and a natural response. That leads to a third clue. And that's when Jesus spoke of harvest and not just food. First, he took a well-known proverb and gave it new meaning. 4 months more and then the harvest was an encouragement to think that there was no immediate urgency. After all, some things simply take time and there is no avoidance of waiting. And whilst that's true, Jesus encouraged his disciples to discount the wait. In other words, assume that the harvest time is now. That this is the day that the Lord has made, and that now is the hour of salvation. All in the knowledge that this is God's message, that it's his desire, and that we can take our place, all because Jesus is the answer. Which brings us to a fourth clue, the part that we can play. That's when Jesus offers two possibilities, the sower and the reaper. You may have other gifts and talents. You may be gifted in all manner of ways with the wherewithal to achieve. But apart from that, God calls you to sow as well as to reap. That puts us all into context. There's the context of the church, but also of church history. For we are not alone, and the responsibility is not entirely our own. Instead, we begin with God the Father, and then the Son, as well as the Holy Spirit. We continue with others who have believed and acted in faith already. Then we too take our place now. For the disciples, those who sowed could well have been the prophets of old. Then there was John the Baptist and his disciples. But most importantly of all, they could look to Jesus and his Father as those who have labored beforehand. In other words, all that God intended and all that Jesus has done enabled the disciples to become reapers, benefiting them even although they had not contributed. That extended to what we read in Acts chapter 8, as Philip went to Samaria, a time of great difficulty for Christians and the church, yet a time of great fruitfulness, prompting Peter and John to go also, all to build on what had begun with Jesus and had progressed through the Samaritan woman. That brings us to a fifth and final clue, one which challenges us to be aware. Jesus said to his disciples, "Look up, raise your eyes," or as some translations put it, "open your eyes." What does that mean for you and for me? We might reap what we have not sown and benefited from it, but what are we sowing for others to reap? What needs to be done? What should be done? What has to be done? It all depends on the emphasis you've come to place on what it is to be a Christian, what you believe, what your theology has come to be, what your understanding of the church is. For me, I see more clearly that Jesus has shown us the way as well as making a way for us. That involves action as well as words. It involves vision as well as belief. And that's because Jesus is the answer, not just for you. Instead, he's the answer for every person who's not here today. The answer for every person who's never given him a second thought. The answer for every person who once took their place in church, but does so no more. There, the kind of people God wants to reach. And they're the kind of people I'd like to reach too. And so, if you're wondering what to do as a Christian. And if you're unclear as to what your emphasis should be as a Christian, then join with me as someone who sows, but who is glad to reap. Why? Because the fields are white and ripe for harvest, and Jesus is the answer. Let us pray. Lord, we look to you as we fulfill our call. We look to you as we fulfill your work. And we look to you as you bring fulfillment to us in all that we do for you. For this is our prayer, spoken in Jesus' name. Amen.